Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Lunch Date, a show dedicated to social wellness, where we encourage taking an active part in improving relationships by discussing healthy communication, setting boundaries, the importance of positive social interaction, and so much more as it relates to relationships, friendships, and those things closest to our hearts. So let me be your Tuesday afternoon lunch date.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. This is Sharia Farmer. I'm your host for the lunch date. I am glad to be back again to talk about social wellness and to get us started on a path to making sure that we take care of our relationships in a way that is healthy for everyone involved. So today's show is somewhat going to be dedicated to one main topic. I'm actually going to still do all of the segments, but some of the segments will be cut short, because I want to make sure I get an opportunity to really talk in depth about today's topic, which is going to be Sexual Assault Awareness Month and the importance of understanding what sexual assault is, how to get help if needed, and then also how to support someone if they have been sexually assaulted, and some of the do's and don'ts in terms of how we talk to those who may be survivors of sexual assault. So I know that is a heavy topic, and therefore, because it is a heavy topic, I still would appreciate any type of interaction, calling in, tweeting, hashtagging, at RS Lunch Date, or you can actually call us at 347-850-1154. Again, because it is a heavy topic, I want us to be mindful of our emotional health when hearing about topics that may affect us or affect someone that we care about. We have to remember to receive the information or take the breaks that we need. So although I do appreciate all of you great listeners, if it's something that I talk about that is too heavy for you to, too heavy or too heavy for someone you love to actually chime into at this point, make sure to turn it off, turn it away, and I'll be okay, and I'll be back next week with a different subject. So I still want to do our two other segments of the show, which is communicating and self-love, because I think because of the topic, specifically the heaviness of them, I want to make sure that we do those topics, but I'm going to actually reverse the order for today only because of the heaviness of the topic. So what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to start with our main topic, which is going to be sexual assault awareness. And I'm actually going to try my best to keep it within a reasonable time frame of 15 minutes or less. And what we'll do is take a break, and then I'll come back and I'll finish up with our communication tips as well as our self-love tip. And today I'm actually not going to give a tip. I'm actually going to tell you what self-love looks like and give you some pointers on making sure that you're taking these areas of your life and as important as caring for yourself. All right, so what is sexual assault? Well, I'm going to read the definition from the Department of Justice. So the definition is: sexual assault is any type of sexual contact or behavior that occurs without the explicit, and I stress that word, explicit consent of the recipient. Falling under the definition of sexual assault or sexual activities as force is forced intercourse, sodomy, child molestation, incest, fondling, and attempted rape. So there's a number of different definitions, and you can Google it, you can look online, but I wanted to use the one that the United States Department of Justice used, because it also indicates how sometimes either a person can get accused and or actually get accused or actually is a criminal of a perpetrator. That's the right word I'm looking for. So I make sure that you can look at other definitions. I know that women's health has a similar, but it breaks down a little bit differently in terms of the actual type. So they have, I think it's womenhealth.gov. They have a definition. RAIN, which is rape, abuse, and incest. Incest National. I guess I should have looked that up before I started saying it. National Network. Okay, so it's a national network for anyone who has been raped, abused, and involved in incest. So it's an opportunity to get information as well as to get resources or to get help if you need to, or know someone who needs help. So I say that because I wanted to make sure that although I use the definition from the Justice Department, if you're interested in finding other definitions, there's tons of them online. So really I wanted to talk today about three areas when it comes to sexual assault. I wanted to talk about the statistics, obviously. I wanted to first give the definition, which we've already done. I want to talk about the statistics, how to fight or to bring an end to sexual violence, and how to support someone who has been assaulted. And I think that all of those areas are equally important, but I'm going to run quickly through the statistics because I think it is important that we understand that this is a serious experience for anyone who has to deal with being sexually assaulted or abused in some format. So I think that it's important that we know how many people this is happening to so that we can actually see the importance of doing something different and also making sure that people know that we support a change in this area because we can no longer sit back in the assumption that it can't happen to someone we love or care for. So for the purpose of the statistics, I'm going to try to read the statistics that come from RAIN, which is Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. Okay? So every 107 seconds, another American is sexually assaulted. Each year, there are about 293,000 victims of sexual assault. So if you think about that in terms of minutes, 107 seconds is not even 2 minutes because it's 120 seconds in 2 minutes. And if you think about that, means if we were to just count for 107 seconds in within the next and or has been sexually assaulted within that time frame. So it's really important for us to recognize that this is very serious. About 44% of victims are under the age of 18. So again, this is not just adults. This is just not college, quote unquote, students. This is also happening to children. This is happening to adolescents, and it's also happening to adults because 80% of all sexual assaults are under the age of 30. So now if we think about that 44%, the remaining between 18 to 30 is where you might actually get the additional 30-something percent that is actually assaulted. So when we think about it, that means that from childhood to 30, a large percent of individuals are being assaulted. And that does not mean that other people or other ages are not, but it means that that's the highest percentage. I just think it's really important also to mention that, over 68% of sexual assaults are not reported to police. 98% of rapists will never spend a day in jail or in prison. To me, that's appalling, but it also says a lot about the stigma. It says a lot about how we see sexual abuse or we see sexual assault as the survivors or victims as a person who may have put themselves in the position. So although things are changing and growing and we're starting to expand our knowledge about how not to treat a person who was sexually assaulted, we have for a very long time made it the victim's fault and made it the person who may have experienced a sexual assault, the victim and or the person that is the problem. The other thing that is just in terms of the offender, approximately 4 out of 5 of assaults are committed someone known to the victim. So that says that they either a friend, a companion, a neighbor, someone who may have a school teacher or in a different areas of contact with the person. So the reality is that most likely you will know or a person may know their actual offender. And then it says 47% of rapists are a friend or companion. So not only is there a high likelihood would you know them, but there also is a likelihood that you may actually have a relationship with them that makes you feel that you could have been or that you were safe or that person wouldn't harm you. I think that's important because we need to understand that when we talk about supporting someone and caring for someone who may have been sexually assaulted, it becomes extremely important to recognize the stigma related to even sharing that you were assaulted, and then the possibility that this was someone that they trusted and thought it would never happen to them. So it becomes really important as we support those who may have experienced sexual assault that we take into consideration these statistics, not just because it's numbers, but because it also may affect how they see themselves as a result of their assault. So I just take that. And if you want the resource for this, is RAINN, and that's two N's. So it's RAINN.org. And you can click on the statistics for for sexual assault. So now let's think about what we can ourselves even before we can support someone else. I think that it's important that we start to make sure that people are comfortable enough to reach out to, say, the police, reach out to support systems, therapists, support groups. There are a lot of programs that are specifically designed for the support of individuals who may have been sexually assaulted. So I think it's really important that we as a community are aware of those. And if you aren't, the reality is that you can get resources as quickly as just typing in our support for sexual assault. But if you want to go on to RAINN.org, they actually have a 1-800 number that can help you or help navigate if you're looking for support. So the 1-800 number is 24/7, 1-800-656-HOPE. And again, that's 1-800-656-HOPE. This becomes extremely important because the reality is that if a person I can't remember exactly, but if 68% is not reported to the police, the reality is that this becomes sometimes the only support they may get in terms of telling their stories, talking to someone, or seeing what they can do. So making sure that we are making people comfortable enough to actually report so that more people can see that this is an issue and we can't continue to be silent. For those who may have had an experience or support someone who has an experience, you can share your story. You can make sure that your story is known so that people can start. I saw a really good post this past week, and it was coming out of Yale, and it was just pictures of individuals who had been assaulted, and they were telling a short word or a blog of what their experience meant and what some of the issues were surrounding keeping quiet or being told that they weren't assaulted, and the reality of how that only hurts more survivors or victims to come out. So we want to make sure that we not only give people the resources or the support, but we also want to make sure that they share their stories or they feel heard when they share their stories. If you yourself or someone you love has been sexually assaulted, you can always volunteer. You can look for your community resources that may volunteer on the phone, the hotline, different avenues of supporting. You can also start telling your story online. Again, that goes back to what the group from Yale did, because it was also gentlemen that were sharing their stories about being assaulted and not being believed in some cases, or how young they were, or even if they were watching their perpetrators still go to school or in college with them at the same time. So it becomes important to share your story so that people know that they are not alone. And then also, you can also, for yourself or for someone, you can get help by not only just going to or calling a number, but also getting help in terms of counseling, support groups, supporting others, and making sure that you're taking care of yourself after something this tragic may have happened to you. So that's how we fight. And then we don't stay quiet, people. So the reality is that they may not have experienced sexual assault. We may know or have the possibility that we love someone who has, and it's important that we support them, but we also make sure that we tell or make sure that we stop thinking that things are someone's fault. Stop trying to define or consider what they may have done to be in this position, and start to change our own stigma and our own misconceptions about assault And the way we do that is through education. So if you are unclear as to what assault is or unclear to the definition of how you, or unclear about how to make sure that you are supporting those who are, have been sexually assaulted, you can look online and there are tons of resources and tons of information. And then it becomes our responsibility as a community to make sure that we don't just overlook someone's health and overlook the importance of someone's health. Say that because I want us to talk about our next thing that we're going to talk about is how do we support. So a lot of us in different portions of our parts of our life have loved one or have someone we love that may have actually been sexually assaulted. And I know personally that I've had to support a few women in my own life that I felt at the time not everyone was supporting the same. And I, although I know that everyone doesn't support the same, it became extremely clear to me that the stigmas or the misconceptions around assault have a lot to do with our own personal experiences. And then we sometimes will put that on the survivor or the victim of a crime. And I just want to make sure that we have some tools that can change that for us or change that for the people we love and support. We change the possibility of them getting help. And for someone who knows the consequence of or has witnessed the consequence of people who may not have gotten some support or help, it saddens me when as simple as supporting them and giving them information could have changed the course of support they got for themselves around whatever, around their assault. So how do we help? The first thing is, the immediate thing is, and always think of this, is to make sure that they're safe. The immediate thing is to make sure that they're, the perpetrator or the person hurting them is not able to continue to do so. And if that means we have to get to them, bring them out of the situation, call the police, we do whatever we need to do to make sure that if they are not safe or if the perpetrator is still present, that we can get them out of that place. Someone, we listen, and that seems so simple, but as we know and we've been talking about communication, it's not always the easiest thing to do for a person or easiest thing to do in terms of listening, but it becomes extremely important to listen to the person so that they can feel heard and not judged. So making sure as you're listening, you're not being judgmental, you're not trying to second guess or resist, or you're not trying to second guess or create a conclusion that they put themselves in this position, right? So are you sure you did the right thing when you went to so-and-so's house? It doesn't matter what the situation, if a person says no or does not give explicit consent, then it's still wrong. And so for us, we have to be sure when we're listening, we're not judging or blaming the victim. Be patient. It's not your risk to be the one to make sure they press charges, to make sure they go to the police, because for each individual and each person, they have the right to determine what they're comfortable with doing in regards to their assault. Questions have to be relevant to the safety of the person. So your questions should not be about the details of the incident or getting to know what happened, quote unquote, because that's not going to be helpful. But what you might do is ask questions about, have they seen a doctor? Have you gone to get checked? Have you gone, like, so you might offer information through questions. And then if they are saying no or resistant, you might offer information around the importance of being checked out, the importance of taking care of your health because this was not your fault. And I think that becomes the theme throughout how you're making sure they understand that you don't blame them as well, or even you don't reinforce any self-blame that they might be doing in front of you or in the conversation. So if they're like, oh, I should have done something different. No, you got out safely and you did the best you could in the experience. And I think although that is not saying that it's not devaluing their assault, it's reassuring them that it's not their fault. And being okay with that. If the person is an immediate threat, we know to call 911. We know to make sure that the person leaves. But if the person is an immediate threat to themselves, right? So if they're saying, you know, I'm going to hurt myself. I think I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to take my life. I don't want to live any longer. Then it's also our responsibility to get immediate involvement there as well, because although in some cases they could just be talking, quote unquote, it's really important for us not to make that assumption that they're just talking because of the scenario or the depression around the incident they may have experienced. It becomes more important that they are safe, and making sure that they're safe sometimes require us to get others involved that might be out of our hands. And then remember, we need to empower. And when I say empower, we empower the survivor by letting them know that you support them, but also giving them the right to determine what they want to do with the crime. Because it is their experience, there is no right or wrong way to handle sexual assault. And although we would all love for every single perpetrator or rapist to be locked up, it's also not our responsibility to make the victim feel like it's their responsibility to save everyone else. At that time and at the point of their assault, it's more about making sure that they're empowered to make decisions for themselves and empowered to be or in or these decisions that fit their needs. So just remember, you support with loving and listening and non-judgmental listening. And in some cases, we may have to get involved in terms of emergencies, in terms of hurting someone else or yourself. But outside of that, it should be the responsibility of the friend or the person supporting them to just be there, to listen, to not blame, to not help them sabotage or feel at fault for what they have experienced. I am going to actually open this up to questions. If anyone has any questions or comments or feels strongly about the subject and would like to comment or say anything in regards to the subject, you can hashtag me at RSLunchDate, which is, I'm really looking at Twitter, but you can do it on any of the social medias, and I'll check throughout the week. Or you can give us a call at 347-850-1154. And again, I just wanted us to do something a little bit different today because the focus of the show is, the topic is a little heavy and I didn't want to end on it. But I also want to make sure that I end on giving some resources or a number that if anyone needs to call, they can, in order to support or to get support yourself. It becomes extremely important for us to do just that. And so I'm going to give that number one more time. Give me 1 second, I'm sorry. Again, on the RAIN network, the number is 1-800-656-HOPE. Again, that's 1-800-656-HOPE. Someone you know needs support, needs to figure out how to get help due to a sexual assault. This hotline is 24/7, and they will be able to hopefully give you resources and navigate to where you can get support in your local community. All right, so what I'm going to do now, since I don't have any questions or have anyone, it doesn't appear that anyone's asking questions, so what I'm going to do now is actually take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk self-love, and we're going to talk communication. All right. Today's wellness moment is, make sure that you give yourself time in the morning before you start your day with things that will clog your brain. So for example, don't let the first thing you do in the morning be checking email. When you get to work, yes, that's totally different. But when you first get up out of the bed, maybe spend some time with your family, laugh, eat breakfast together. Do something that is not about clogging your day with all the things that will be about worry, or filling your day with things that will make you start to not take care of yourself and or feel that your day is not going to be well. So remember, today's wellness moment is more about taking care of yourself when you first get up.
making sure that you don't do things like check your email, listen to negative news, read a paper that is going to be all negative news, right? So there is some positive stories in the newspaper. Find one or two to make sure that they're the way you end your morning when you're before you get out into the day. Because believe me, you'll have enough time throughout the day to have negative things enter into your day. So in order to be well, make sure that you give yourself a moment before you dig right into the negative. Enjoy your family, your friends, or even just calm, silent time alone. That way you can be well, and I'll talk to you next week.
Welcome back to the show. Today we discussed sexual assault awareness, and so we flipped the show a little bit in regards to our segments, starting with our main segment, which was sexual assault awareness and the importance of making sure we know the statistics, we fight to end sexual violence, and then we support those who may have been or may have experienced sexual assault. So I hope that you guys got some great information, but I want us to start or talk about our other two segments, which usually start our show, one being communication and the other being self-love. So let's talk about what today's tip for communication is. You know, it's funny because I was talking to a couple in couples therapy regarding how to fight fair and to fight with kindness. And this couple was struggling to hear me and to understand the importance of kindness in our communication and the importance of making sure that each party is heard but also respected in the conversation. And one of the things that I felt that I wanted to talk about today was you can't force someone to hear you out, right? So the communication tip is forcing someone to hear you out is not always going to mean that you are heard. What that means is that yelling, screaming, fighting, and being the loudest doesn't indicate that you're going to get your point across. It becomes extremely important for us to evaluate how we say what, and we talked about this a little bit last week with nonverbal communication, but the importance of fighting fair and fighting with kindness indicates that we're resolving the issue in a way that both parties can feel respected, even if they disagree. But if you are fighting to be heard or to make sure that the person hears you, you're more concerned about being heard than concerned about the resolution. And the resolution for both parties may not be that you agree, but you've come to an agreement that you can both have your view and or you both can have your view and support each other regardless. But the reality is to fight with anger, to fight with yelling and screaming and expecting the person to be heard if you're calling them names or undermining who they are within the conversation, making sure that when you're fighting fair, you're fighting kind and respectfully, and remembering that you can't force someone to hear you out. And so take the breaks you need, walk away and if you need to, and ask for time out if it becomes too much for you to be able to maintain kindness and or to not get into a verbal exchange that offends one another. So remember, fight fair, be kind, respectful, and you cannot force someone to hear you out. All right. So that is our communication tip for today. Now, I am in the process of doing something awesome, and so in process of doing awesome things, you get awesome information, right? So I am actually developing a community for women, an enrichment community that will be online to support through different coaching activities. So I've been doing a lot of, like, development and planning related to activities and the weekly groups that I will be doing within the community. And so in doing that, I ran across some awesome resources around self-love because anyone who knows me knows that I think without loving yourself, all of your other relationships don't really have the same meaning and or doesn't have the same feeling when you don't take care of yourself or love yourself first so that you can be your healthiest self in all those other relationships. And so although you may take care of people and do a million different things for people, sometimes in your modeling of behaviors, you're actually teaching a lesson to those people you love that it's okay to be self-sacrificing and never care for yourself. And I am a true believer that that only ends with a crash and or it ends with some other emotional health or some emotional area that we don't resolve in terms of depression or anxiety. So I wanted to share some of the things that I found that I really, really, really thought was exciting around how to identify if you have self-love. Thought about it. The key word for a lot of us today is self-care, self-care, self-care. And the truth is that self-love does require a certain level of self-care that is consistent and every day. But it also includes how you set up boundaries. It also includes accepting you for who you are. And we talked about that a little bit last week with emotional intelligence in regards to self-awareness and being aware of who you are in your emotions and regulating your emotions. So yeah, although those areas are so important for us, I wanted us to kind of see what it looks like to love ourselves. And so some of the list that I'm going to give, and this is not all inclusive because there's going to be a million more. I just felt like some of these stood out, and I wanted to share with you because it's important that we love ourselves, but we also start doing things to show it as well. So one of the things that is choosing ourselves, even selves over others, is a way of showing that you may love yourself in a way that is not selfish, but is a way that identifies that you have boundaries or standards that belong to you, and because of that, you're choosing yourself first. Telling the truth even when it's not comfortable, right? So, and telling the truth even when it means that you may have, you may offend or hurt someone's feelings, but it has to be said in a way that's kind to people. So it's not to hurt their feelings, but it's a way to share what you really feel about yourself or what you feel regarding yourself. The truth is that self-love also is reflective to how you take care of yourself, right? So exercising, eating right, getting enough rest, making sure that that rest is a priority and not just something that you do occasionally to get back on track, but making sure that you look at your whole body needs. So although I love my ice cream and I've had some gluttony this past weekend, although I love it, I also understand that it's not something that I should be doing to my body every day if I expect to maintain healthiness. However, every single day there's a certain number of vegetables I eat, certain number of fruits I eat, and I actually love fruits and vegetables, so that's a little easier. But it's certain things I do because my body needs to be healthy for me to be around. And then also making sure that you take care of yourself physically and exercise and take walks. Do a little bit more movement than what you normally do so that your body can start to rejuvenate, Sharia. Don't spend your time building your life or your happiness around only the possibility of getting married or having a relationship. Make sure that you see that your single self needs to be nurtured just like your coupled self or married self or whatever, because it's important that if you're not married or if you are married, that you still have a healthy relationship with you. And what that means is that you actually support yourself even through not being single. So when you are single, you take care of yourself, you treat yourself well. But when you get married or you're in a long-term relationship, you still do the same because it becomes really important to make sure that you're reflecting that self-love all the time and regardless of the relationship you're in. It means accepting the good, the bad, the ugly, all about yourself and not judging you, right? So we have made mistakes. We have negative experiences. But if we maintain this view of guilt or shame related to all of our past experiences, all we're doing is rehashing and dragging ourselves through the mud all the time. And what good does that do if you're trying to love yourself, right? So the same way you don't tell your child every single day the mistakes they made, every single mistake they made, a list of mistakes they made every single time you see them, you actually would hurt them. You know that you would feel bad doing it, so why would you do it to yourself? So no more beating yourself up with your past mistakes or your past mistakes or things that may have happened to you. Because if you do so, you're just rehashing and hurting your current self. someone who loves themselves, make sure that they play, right? So play for me could be craft, writing, doing things that I enjoy, doing things that make me happy, and then also sharing those things with people who also may do those things as well, right? So my friends that love to craft, I might craft with them. My friends who like to read, we might do a book club, right? So whatever the case is, you still are playing and making sure you enjoy life, right? So for my husband and I, it's basketball games, it's traveling, right? So those things for us reinforce how much we care for ourselves together, but also alone. So before, and I can say this for myself, and he probably can say the same, before he and I met, I went to basketball games. I am a huge basketball fan, so I went to a lot of games as well as always watch the games on the television. But I also made sure that I did things like go dancing, go, right? Things that I enjoy. And some of those things we do together now, but it's always to maintain our individual self within that relationship. Making sure that we start to evaluate, and we talked about toxic friends, evaluate our relationships. A person who is loving themselves does not owe anyone anything. It's okay to end or change relationships to fit your current self. You don't have to be in a relationship that reinforces or tries to remind you of the negative part of you or who you used to be. You are allowed to change every single moment. And if that person or people can't see that, it's okay to let them go and to release them out of your life so that you can take care of you and be okay with who you are. Someone who loves themselves, also they dream, right? So they start to see that they can have more than what this moment is. And whatever that dream is for you, it could be a family, it could be a house, it could be a closer relationship with God. It could be so many different things. I'm allowed to have more than what I have now, and that not only am I allowed, but I'm worth it. And because I'm worth it, I'm actually going to start taking steps towards what I know I can do in this world that reinforces the love for myself or possibly the love for others regarding how or what your dream is. So I think there I can go on and on. I have a list of like 30, but I'm going to save those for one of the activities within the group because then I will be giving it away to you guys, but I can't do that. So what I will say is that when I was looking at the list and developing the list of things that you can do, the one thing that kept coming out or kept seeing was you have to be okay with yourself and not judging you. And then I also saw a lot of balance, right? So our emotional, mental, financial, physical, spiritual, all those areas in our lives need balance and need healthiness. And anyone who really knows me knows how important to me the balance of our full self is, because if you are going to shortchange one area, that area can come back to haunt you at another time in life. And why do that? Because you can have a full, healthy, happy life by just looking into what it takes to care for you and then care for others in relation to those things. So I hope that made sense in terms of loving yourself. And last but not least, you have to accept who you are so that way you can grow. And accepting who you are doesn't mean that you are happy with every single thing about yourself, but it means that you don't punish yourself. You give yourself goals and steps to accomplish in those areas of change, but you don't punish yourself for who you are, because who you are is actually what's going to motivate or get you to that change. So the less you beat yourself up, the more likely you actually get to that change. That you guys got it. I hope that you guys have a beautiful rest of the week. I'm actually, before we go, I want to tell you guys a little bit about what's going on. If you check out my Facebook page for RS Counseling and Wellness, which is facebook.com/RS Wellness Center. If you check out on there, there's a pinned video that gives you information on the up and coming community for women. So fellas, even though you are not a woman, check it out as well. So because there is going to be a push for us to make sure that our mothers, our sisters, our wives are cared for, and this could be an opportunity for you to do so by gifting them a year-long subscription or membership, and then giving them the opportunity to decide if they want to continue for next year. So I think that is important for us to support each other and to, especially as women, to become a community that builds up and grows together so that we can have more healthy young ladies and healthy women, that we can have healthy children and families and just a healthy community. So with that being said, check out the Facebook, as well as you can like the page while you're there. And just get excited, because I'm extremely excited about this membership, and I do want for it to continue to grow, or for it to grow. I do have a few people who have already expressed interest and may have what is considered a pre-order, so I'm going to open that up to anyone who is interested or is listening. You can actually email me directly at Sharia@radiantsunshine.org if you're interested in information on the cost and getting started prior to May. Feel free. I will say that the program is still being developed and it'll be fully ready for May, but I do have some things already in the community that can be beneficial for you to start at your own pace. So again, check us out on Facebook, check out the video. Make sure to hashtag any information or questions you have regarding today's show. If anyone needs support or information and they feel comfortable enough or need more information regarding sexual assault awareness and or want more information to share with someone they care about, feel free to email me as well, and or to do a hashtag RS launch date. I hope that we continue to see the importance of taking care of each other and see the importance of looking at support and love for those who may be survivors. And I would like for those seconds, for every 107 seconds, which is less than 2 minutes, I would like for those seconds to get so long that it's not happening at all. And the only way that that can happen is if we all put our voices together to say no more, to say that there's no reason to hurt, and to know that a person who says no and does not want to do anything sexually has a right to that, regardless of age, regardless of relationship type. So regardless of age and relationship type, meaning even if they're married or single, you have a right to say no at any point, and you have a right to say no more. All right, so you guys, on that note, I want you to remember, self-love always is the foundation of all healthy interactions. So be well, and I will talk to you next week.